first off, just tell me, you know, why did you decide to get into politics in the first place?
Well, I first got involved in politics first as a young person here in Delaware. I think when I was growing up and was struggling with how I fit into this world, I saw politics as the place where you can make the most amount of change for the most number of people in the most number of ways possible. And so I started volunteering on campaigns, working on campaigns, and then I eventually got into advocacy. And I decided to run for office because I saw in that advocacy, one, that state legislatures are the place where the rubber meets the road on public policy and where you can make the most amount of change for your neighbors. I also saw that state legislatures are uniquely positioned to be laboratories of democracy for big ideas that meet the scope and the scale of the challenges that we face. And as someone who was born and raised in this district, as someone who was supported and sustained through really difficult times by so many people throughout these communities, I wanted to give back.
Yeah, so you decided that you really wanted to make a big change in this, at least in the world, and you think that, you know, state government is the place to do that.
I think state government is the place where we have the best opportunity right now to bring about the change that we know is possible and to meet the challenges that we face head on with meaningful action that make a real difference in people's lives.
Obviously, you've been seen as a big role model for a lot of people in the LGBTQ community, but I want to know who inspires you. Who's your role model?
One of the individuals that's on my mind is former State Senator Margaret Rose Henry, who was a brave and bold progressive leader who brought people together. I'm thinking about my predecessor, Senator Harris McDowell, one of the most accomplished legislators in Delaware history, whose legacy touches every Delawarean in one form or another. These are individuals who were in their service, brave and courageous, and able to bring people together for the common good. I think that's a model for how we tackle the challenges that we face right now.
So a lot of our previous state legislators.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a lot on the legislature's plate this year, especially since they couldn't meet for part of the year last year. There's a lot of things that people have priorities. What would you say are the biggest priorities this year going into the legislature?
First and foremost, of course, we've got to face this COVID-19 crisis head on. We've got to get the vaccine out as efficiently and effectively as possible so that we get it to as many people as possible, so that we can reopen our economy, we can save lives. But I believe that we will only truly meet this moment, that we will only fully recover if we don't return to the past but chart a new path forward. This recovery has to be a recovery that lifts all boats, that lifts up all families across our communities and across the state. That's why I'm passionately in favor of universal paid family and medical leave. It's why I believe we have to increase the minimum wage. It's why I believe this is the time to strengthen our public schools so that every child, no matter their zip code, can get a safe and quality education. And it's why I believe that in the wake of a historic call for racial justice, this year we should pass meaningful police and criminal justice reform.
So making sure that this COVID relief is equitable for all and lifting up everybody.
And not just the relief, the immediate relief. It's critical that we ensure that it's not just the immediate relief that's equitable, but that as we start to reopen, as we're in this moment of reimagination, that we address the structural inequities in our system, the structural shortcomings of our society.
Do you think all those things you said are going to be possible to kind of get done this year?
I am incredibly hopeful. With great challenges comes great responsibility, and I believe that with the diversity of the legislature and the range of talents in the General Assembly, with the experience of the returning members and the perspective of the new members, we have what it takes to make real progress.
Yeah. One thing I've asked a couple of different candidates, just because I'm kind of interested about it, and you mentioned that you've lived here your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any, you know, issues or concerns in your community that you kind of discovered while you were campaigning that you might not have known about before?
I don't know that I discovered new issues, but I heard new angles around issues that I knew were keeping so many of my neighbors up at night. I heard deeper concern about issues that I already knew existed out there. You know, I will say one of the top things I heard long before COVID was the challenges facing caregivers in our communities. Caregivers who are parents, caregivers who are children caring for an aging or ill parent, caregivers for a spouse. The challenges facing caregivers were challenges I heard about in every part of this district long before COVID hit.
So you learned a lot of different new angles. about the stuff that you already knew was an issue.
I was aware that these issues existed, but when you go out and you have these conversations, and that's really how you have to run, especially here in Delaware, you've got to talk to as many people as possible. I will be a better state senator for the conversations I had. And you learn. You learn about the different ways people are being left behind. You learn about the different nuances and challenges that they face. You learn about an angle that maybe you didn't think about, or a downstream consequence of an existing policy that you didn't quite realize was there. So it really helps to inform you as a legislator, because you're then able to bring all of those perspectives and those experiences and those hopes and those fears and those dreams with you to your work in the legislature.
And it's certainly a little bit easier to talk to a lot more people here in Delaware, being such a small state.
Right. It's wonderful. It's a great experience running for office here. I always say, if you want to fall deeper in love, if you want to fall more deeply in love with your community, run for office, win or lose, because the conversations and the friendships and the relationships that you develop during that campaign, you will cherish, I'm sure, for the rest of your life. Yeah. I know I will be.
What would you say is your favorite part about Delaware then? Sounds like you love the place.
I love Delaware. And I think that we have what it takes to more fully live up to our values as a state of neighbors. You know, we've got some great things here. We've got many great things here in Delaware. We've got great communities. We've got beautiful parks. We've got a thriving arts community. We're really, really wonderfully located in this country. We've got wonderful beaches. There are so many things going for us. But I think my favorite thing about Delaware is a little bit more esoteric. It's the ethos of us as a state of neighbors. And I think while we've never lived up fully to those values, the fact that those values are the foundation upon which we build provides us that strong foundation to really, really bring about the kind of policies and change that I think meet the scale of the challenges that we're facing.
Yeah. And lastly, you know, being this, you know, role model for a lot of people, what would you have to say for, you know, those LGBTQ children who are looking up to you and looking at your accomplishments?
My hope is that the November election and hopefully today's swearing in helps to send a small but important message to a young LGBTQ kid that our democracy is big enough for them too, and that their voice matters.